associating so much with these generational curses. When we have our own generational blessings,
your sins are forgiven. That means that you are a candidate for the miraculous. It does not matter where you are. Once you hear my voice, the power of God will meet you.
And this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has the life. We have the life of the Son of God. We are not ordinary.
You're about to listen to the visionary of Manifold Grace Ministries.
Romans chapter 8 from verse 14, and then we go to Titus chapter 3 as we continue our gospel series. Romans chapter 8 from verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Titus chapter 3 from verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Today, as we continue our gospel series, we'll be talking about the family of God. The family of God. Now that you are in Christ, God has become your Father, and you are a member of the family of God. Papa Egan said, there's no truth more far-reaching in the scriptures than the fact that once a man gets born again, God becomes his father. Okay, God is not just our father. God is not a baby daddy. Is it baby daddy they call it? God is not just like you have baby mama. You know, when you have somebody that has children, he has children, and he has lost count of the children he has. No, God is not our father because we are his offspring, but because he is our beloved father that is always caring and doting over us. Okay? And when the Bible says that we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, Amplified says, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. That Abba, Father, the closest thing to it in the English language is Daddy. That is a more informal, beloved way of calling your father, Appa, Abba, Father. And the Bible says that we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That means that there was a time that we received the spirit of bondage, talking about the evolution of Christianity, even from Judaism, the walk of God with the children of Israel. On the Mount of Sinai, they received the spirit of bondage. And the operating principle of the Old Testament was fear. Fear of God. But the operating principle of the New Testament is righteousness, gingered by love. Praise God forevermore. Christ's revelation is a revelation of God as Father. When you read the Sermon on the Mount, you see Christ trying to communicate something deep yet simple to the people. He's trying to say, why are you worrying about what you will wear, what you will eat? And he does not say, if you put your mind to it, all those things are easy to get. That is motivation. I'm not against motivation. That's motivation. You can do anything you put your mind to do. But instead, Christ brings a revelation of God as our Father. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need those things. And it is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So don't bother about what we eat, what we wear. Look at the birds of the air. See how God provides for them. Look at the lilies of the field. Even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like them. And these are lilies that are in the field today. Tomorrow, they are cut off and put in the oven. He says, how much more will your father take care of you, O ye of little faith? So how we know people with great faith is based on their reliance on God as their father. Many times we give the impression that when your faith starts developing, then you are not dependent on God again. Okay, you are on your own now. No. If you are really growing spiritually, the sign that you are growing spiritually is that your dependency on God starts increasing. And your dependency on your own self-effort, I can do it on my own, starts reducing. That is the sign of spiritual growth. Praise God forevermore. And you will see Jesus, who was matured spiritually, saying, I cannot do anything. It is what I see my Father do that I do. Throughout his life and ministry, there was strong dependency. And if you study it, the dependency seemed to get stronger and stronger as his ministry progressed. So don't be on your own looking for of natural ways, secular systems of solving your problems and feel that you are maturing. No, you are not maturing. You are going deeper into unbelief. Maturity is that your faith, your hope is in God's mercy. Okay? Your trust is in the love that your Father has for you. Praise God forevermore. Okay, so when we talk about God as our Father, the family of God, there are three things I will share briefly. The first thing about this family of God is the regeneration. The second is the establishment of heirship. And the third is the restoration of intimacy. First one, regeneration. Paul, talking to Titus, shows that our genes are changed when we get born again. That means that now God sees his image in us. We are of the same stock as Christ. That's why he said that by the washing, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. That's how we are born again. And here in Titus, he says, by the washing of regeneration and renewing done by the Holy Ghost. The writer of Hebrews said, he that sanctified and them that are sanctified are all of the same stock. Hebrews chapter 2. And that is why he is not ashamed, that Christ is not ashamed to call us brethren. Okay? So, our genes have changed.
Yes,
we see our genes in him. We love like him.
Yes,
we are matured as he is. And have the faith of God that moves mountains.
Yes,
because that thing is hereditary. It is a gene thing. Praise God forevermore. And this thing must become your consciousness. Okay? Your consciousness. And if you meditate on this long enough, you will see that that thing will spring out from your spirit. Okay? It will spring out of your spirit and start coming out to your body. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It will spring up because the promise of the Christos is that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. The flowing rivers will come out of your spirit, into your mind, into your body, and bless the lives of those around you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so if you understand this truly, then there are no more hereditary diseases.
Yes, sir. Thank
okay,
you, Lord.
This thing, this high blood pressure, this hypertension is a family thing. Diabetes is a family thing. Cancer is a family thing. No, you have been plucked out of your family,
yes,
and you have been regenerated.
Yes, sir.
Okay? This sequel said, my father was ES, my mother ES, and then I was unlucky. I was the one that was SS. No. You are regenerated now. You are regenerated now. Oh, but I've been born again and no change has happened. No, be patient with it. Allow it to come out from within. Gradually, you will see. It might not happen over a human, but one day you will just see that your feelings are changed. You feel better now. that the crisis and all that, you know, it's not all miracles that are that happen like lightning. There are miracles that happen that even the people don't know that they have been healed yet. Somebody, you know, one of our beloved partners sent a testimony during the week of somebody that had heart palpitations, and then I think it was joined PWE in April, in May. Okay? In May, she heard me saying heart palpitations are healed, night of prophetic unction. She didn't even know that. She just said amen. Then it was weeks later that she sent a message to him and said, do you know since that time I observed that the palpitations have stopped? She didn't even notice. She didn't even notice. But it had happened. So we have those miracles that happen. And there was another miracle recently of my wife saying growths and tumors are being healed. And as I mentioned, the individual said that he had that growth on his wrist and it disappeared instantly. There are instant miracles. There are all kinds of miracles. But the major thing is that if you believe these things from within, it will start coming up. The life of God will start eating up everything that might look hereditary and change your genetic constitution. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Okay? I'm asthmatic. Everybody in my family is asthmatic. You just see that for months now, you have not needed an inhaler because that life has changed your genetic constitution. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that as you are born the image of the earthly, that's Adam, so let us bear the image of the heavenly. 1 Corinthians 15:49. That means that we have to allow that thing to come out. Okay? We have been regenerated. We have to allow the new genes to come out. And how do we allow it to come out? It is renewed in knowledge. Colossians chapter 3 verse 10 says, we should put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created it. Okay? So it is renewed in knowledge. And that's why we are teaching this gospel series. You know, many times we have the impression that the word of God is a word of demand. It's not a word of demand. God's word does not demand of you. God's word supplies to you.
Amen.
That's why Romans says that, how can they believe except there be a preacher? Because the Bible says faith cometh. It does not say faith is demanded. It says faith cometh by hearing. As we are preaching, we are supplying faith. That is why it is called the word of life. That means that when we preach the gospel, life is shed abroad to the people. It is called the word of righteousness because when we preach the gospel, the people receive the righteousness of God. It is called the word of truth. When we preach the truth, the people receive the truth of the gospel. It is called the word of faith because when we preach it, faith is imparted to your heart to make that gene that is in you come forth and manifest you as a new creation vitally in your daily walk and conversation. Can you say amen? Number two, heirship established. Beautiful. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The Bible does not say that we are co-heirs with Christ. It says we are joint heirs with Christ. That's what Paul said in Romans 8. We are joint heirs with Christ. There's a difference. Co-heirs means that all of you own the property, the authority, okay? The rights and privileges together. And it is shared amongst you, the sharing formula. We don't care about the sharing formula. But definitely, okay, no one person owns everything. But joint heir means that one each person owns everything. Do you understand this?
Yes, sir.
Reuben had done the despicable. So his birthright was transferred to Joseph. And that is why there is no tribe of Joseph, but there is a tribe of Manasseh and tribe of Ephraim. Because in Jewish culture, the firstborn has two times what other children have. Okay, so if you have five boys and they want to share property, you will divide the property into how many? Into six. If you have 10 boys, you will divide the property into how many? Into 11. Why? Because the first one will take two times what every other person is taking. And that is why Joseph has the tribe of Manasseh and Ephraim, his two sons. Because it took two times what others took. Judah, Dan, Asher, and the rest. But when the Bible says that we are joint heirs with Christ, that means we share in his authority, the rights and privilege of this office. We have spiritual authority like Christ has. And Christ said, if they have obeyed me, they will obey you also. You know, there are teachings that go around that give the impression that, you know, there are ranks in the realm of the spirit. You cannot cast out some devils because your rank has not reached that level. That is a lie. That does not agree with New Testament. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
And that's why you must know this truth. You know, years ago when I used to go to schools, secondary schools to preach, there was a young boy that came to the meeting and I saw bites all over his body. Bites all over, as if somebody had been biting him and they're flogging him too. You see lashes. And he said, no, it was in his dream. He will see those attacks of biting and flogging. And when he woke up, he will be fighting his dream. When he wakes up, he will see all the marks in his body. I looked at him and said, you foul devil that scared this boy. Out! In the name of Jesus. They obeyed. Did they scream? They didn't scream. But they obeyed. Because after that, he didn't have any attack. The young man that went with me, that was more involved in the school, now told me later, I said, sir, that boy, I've been fasting and praying for him for long for his deliverance. But you only spoke a word and deliverance came because I believed God's word. My mind was renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created me. Okay? So, we fasting and prayer is important. Okay? But knowledge of this authority is more important. So don't listen to people that tell you about ranks in the spirit to handle demons. You know demons level 777. Anybody can handle that. When you go to level 999 and level 12, you need some manifestations of the spirit. No. Many afflictions caused by the wrong things you have heard over time.
Yes, sir.
Many afflictions.
Yes,
sir. It's the different things you have heard over time that have held you in bondage. There are people that feel that demonic attack is a sign of spiritual authority. They say that, you know, when I got to that place, demons rose up, they attacked me. I started speaking, I started praying. That's when the thing came down. And they feel people like mysticism. It is not a sign of spiritual maturity, it is a sign of ignorance.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Demons don't appear to me. They don't. Because they know that I will hurt them badly if they try it. They know I will hurt them. They don't come around dancing around. You don't dance around me. I will injure you. And you'll be very, very, very sad that you did so. Praise God. Why? Because I know I have authority. There are people that don't interpret Galatians chapter 4. They interpret it to mean spiritual growth. The heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be master over all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. So they say when you get born again, you are a child, you are a baby, you have authority, but you cannot use it. That's not true. If you read it in context, it's talking about the difference between the law and grace. When we were under the law, we were children. That's why under the law, you will never see any story of somebody casting out evil spirits. Until the Son of God walked upon the earth. Elijah, as powerful, as anointed as he was, when Jezebel threatened him, he took off. But in the New Testament, Jesus said that the least in the kingdom is greater than the greatest prophet, John the Baptist. What kingdom? Hebrews chapter 12 says, we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. We have received an unshakable kingdom. There are no coups, no hunters, no Porsche can overthrow us in this kingdom. The Bible says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. We are joint heirs with Christ in this kingdom. This is an amazing privilege. No wonder John says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Because this sonship as joint heirs has given us authority in this realm, under the earth and above the earth. Praise God forevermore. Wow, glory to God. And number three, we have so much to say, but there are messages on this gospel series in the past. I'm adding some things to them. But we have messages, the power of the new covenant, no condemnation, your sins are forgiven, all those messages, the basis, the blessing and the bridge, all those powerful messages, we are saying the same things in different ways. So we have talked about regeneration because God is our Father. We are in this new family. We have talked about heirship. We are joint heirs with Christ. Sir, but in my family, they said that I'm not a joint heir. I am married to a spirit husband. You are not married to a spirit. If you are in Christ Jesus, you have been removed from that your family setting. Sir, then why do you cast out spirits from people that way? It is people that have not been able to rise up to exercise their authority. If you can rise up and exercise your authority, no demonic stronghold from your family can hold you bound. Okay? If you can rise up. And many times God has given the anointed because many people, they can't stand up. And that is why we stand up on their behalf. And once they are set free and taught the word of God, there is no Jupiter or Pluto from anywhere that can try them again. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. No Jupiter, no Pluto from anywhere can try them again. Number three, intimacy has been restored. The word Abba is a love word for Father. It is intimacy. That means in this intimacy, we talk plainly to God. God loves us. God does not condemn us. You know that woman with the issue of blood? Okay? The woman came, the reason why she came to Jesus was not as much because of her great faith in the power of Christ as it was her faith in the love of the Master. Because she was supposed to have been stoned to death if she was discovered. But she knew the Master would not do that. The Master will not condemn her. And that's why when she touched, and Jesus said, somebody touched me. And she came out. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. That woman caught her adultery. Jesus Christ said, neither do I condemn you. The woman was not fighting. I said that it's a lie. I didn't commit adultery. She was caught in the sin. But he said, neither do I condemn you. God does not condemn you. He doesn't condemn you. God is reaching out to you today. God wants an intimate relationship with you. Okay? And one of the things that helps this intimate relationship is plainness of speech.
Yes, sir.
There are people that all they know to do with God is formal. Some people even preach, think that if they are not using King James in prayer, God is not hearing them. Because they've not learned the language registers of the Spirit. So when they come to God, oh God, thou art high and holy, we are but dust and worm of the earth. No. The Bible says we use great plainness of speech. I've said it in one of these episodes. When the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that boldly means unfettered eloquence. It means plainness of speech. That means that when we come to God, we are not being rude, but we are being open. I remember one time years ago when I was praying, I told God, I said, God, you know that if you were in my place praying and I was the one sitting on that chair, I would have helped you now. Rise up for me. Rise up. God did not thunder with anger. Instead, he thundered with his power. Why is it that I can talk like that? Because God is my Father. I can use great plainness of speech. Okay? I can use great plainness of speech. Okay? Here when Jesus was talking, Abba, Father, all things are possible with you. You can do this thing for me, but not my will, but your will be done. You will see a mix of reverence with intimacy. Reverence with intimacy. And that's why what God wants from us. There are people that are Christians that they know spirituality, they know the spiritual systems, spiritual principles, but they don't know the Father of spirits. This God that I preach, I know him. I know him personally. He speaks to me, I speak to him. When I talk, I know he hears me. He hears me. I talk to him as one that is talking to his father, to his friend. I don't talk into space. No, because there's an intimacy that the finished work of Christ has brought. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. That's the relationship he wants with you.
Yes, sir.
Okay? When I visit my dad is a praying proper man, you know, standard. But when I visit my dad, okay, by the time I gist with him, sometimes he's laughing, tears are coming out of his eyes from laughter. Okay? God likes that kind of visit from you. We gist with our children, they're happy, they talk freely. God wants that kind of relationship with you. God wants a relationship that is different from that of the servant.
Yes, sir.
That you are bridled, you are reined in, you cannot say what you want to say. You know, when we get to places, you want to talk. Have you ever said this to your superior? Say, sir, can I speak freely? And they say, please go ahead. With God, we can speak freely.
Hallelujah.
We can speak freely.
Hallelujah.
Okay? And know that he understands us. Okay? And he is willing and ready to release and unleash all his resources on our behalf. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
And part of this intimacy is that God does not joke with his own.
Yes, sir.
There are people that you will see that will put believers under pressure, especially young believers. There are people that try to sway young believers. You might not be born again listening to me, or you might know people that are like that. Go and warn them. It's a very dangerous place to be. I have seen it happen over and over again. Someone is a young Christian, the friends come and say, let's go and say, I'm a Christian. I'm not really born again, Oshiwo. Let's go. You are in a dangerous place. Jesus said that, look at all these children. If anyone offends one of them or causes one of them to stumble, it would have been better for a millstone to be hung around his head and the person thrown into the ocean, because God does not play with his children. You might think that I did this thing to a believer, nothing happened. And I have seen this practically. I cannot tell you the experiences now, the stories now. But I've seen this practically with people that ended up in disgrace, ignominy. Up till now, their lives have not picked up because they offended one of God's little ones. He says, be careful. Be careful. Herod killed all children under 2 years, because he estimated, you know, many times when we hear the Christmas story, we feel that it was today that the wise men came, tomorrow Jesus was born, by next week Herod was looking. No, it took time. From the time they saw the star and came and did what they wanted to do and left, by the time they estimated, they said that by this time, if that child was born at so time, it should be probably 1 year, it should be under 2 years old. Now, go and kill all the children 2 years and under. Nothing happened to him. Because of the loving kindness, the seed of God. Killed John the Baptist, cut off his head. Nothing happened to him. Because of the seed of God. Killed James, cut off his head. Nothing happened to him. Because of the seed of God. Touched Peter. Then God said, it's enough. Worms ate up his body. The same Peter said, God is not slack concerning his promise. It is because he wants people to repent. But listen, God does not joke with you. You might look like an ordinary person walking on the street. You are a child of the God of the whole universe. He does not play with you. Those that touch you will suffer for it. He does not play with you. Go with this understanding. Okay? God's love has drawn us to him. This God rejoices over us with dancing, with singing. And his love will keep us rejoicing in the light of his goodness. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Have you gotten something today? Praise God forevermore. Lord, we thank you. Father, we thank you for the love you have towards us. Help us to understand this love, to walk in this love, to dance and rejoice in this love. As the love transforms us, transforms our friends, our families, our communities, our societies, and the whole world from inside out. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
You have been listening to the Visionary of Manifold Grace Ministries, a God breath ministry with a mandate to lift believers into new levels of victory via the teaching of the word of faith and the release of the supernatural. To partner with us or to download more messages, visit www.manifoldgraceministries.org. You can follow us on social media at Manifold Grace Ministries. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Manifold Grace Ministries. God loves you.